Buckle up, friends, and welcome to the Thriving Alcohol-Free Podcast. I'm your host, Deb, otherwise known as Mocktail Mom, a retired wine drinker that finally got sick and tired of spinning on life's broken record called Detox to Retox. Let this podcast be an encouragement to you if alcohol is maybe a form of self-care for you, where you find yourself dragging through the day waiting to pour another glass. I am excited to share with you the fun of discovering new things to drink when you aren't drinking and the joy of waking up each day without a hangover. It is an honor to serve as your sober fun guide, so sit back and relax or keep doing whatever it is you're doing. This show is produced for you with love from the great state of Kentucky. Thanks so much for being here and big time cheers. Okay, hey friends, it's Deb. Welcome back to Thriving Alcohol Free, the fun podcast. You're here, you're back, and we all made it through dry January, and I have such a special guest today in the house with me, Kim Bellis. Is that how you say your last name? Bellis?
Yes.
Bellis.
Yes.
Okay, I want to say, make sure I'm saying it right. Kim is coming to us live today from Canada, Quebec. Am I saying it right? No, not
yes,
saying that
right. Yes, you are.
I am. Oh, okay. Okay. I say everything wrong. Okay. Kim is the founder of Sober is the New Cool. So are you following along? Make sure you're following her on Instagram and all the places, because you are in all the places. Kim, I have followed you since early in my alcohol-free journey. You just exude love and kindness. It just flows off of your page, the encouragement and the support that you provide to so many people. So it is so fun. I want to hear your story. You and I have never met before, you know, kind of screen to screen. We've DM'd and commented and stuff. So how are you?
I'm great. And you know what? I've followed you forever also. I am so thrilled to be here because I just think you are absolutely amazing.
I feel the same way about you. Thank you.
Your aura and you shine and your smile and I just love you. So
we're just having fun, right? Like Who knew? Who knew how fun this was going to be?
Exactly.
Okay. So when we're recording this, it's the last day of dry January, last day of January, 2024. And you just celebrated 11 years alcohol free.
Yes, I did.
Phenomenal. Congratulations.
Yeah. And you know what? I would never change 1 second of the last 11 years to lose anything that I've found. Not one.
Really?
The ups and downs, you know, because It goes up and down. But no. I just have a life.
Yeah. You have a life. Yeah. Okay. So do you want to tell the listeners how you got started? What got you on your alcohol-free journey? Because you are the picture of thriving. You are thriving in your alcohol-free journey. So I can't wait to hear all about how it got started.
So basically in 2013, my son Matthew was a huge football player, you know, a regular kid having fun. We were out 5 nights a week at football. He was amazing. From one day to the next, he started having brown mouth seizures.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So at first they thought, okay, it's concussion related, you know, whatever. And, you know, he was such a good football player that the coaches and the hospital kept saying, oh, no, it's okay. You know, he'll be all right. We'll let him play after 6 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. And finally, at one point, he had gone on a ski trip away from home, and we got a call at 2 a.m. He had another seizure in front of all his classmates. And, they were about 2 hours away. So basically, they were already at the hospital. There was no point in us going because by the time we would get there, they were on their way home. So from that moment on, they realized, yes, in fact, he was going to be epileptic the rest of his life, would have to take medication. So, you know, it just like our life just turned so upside down so quickly. So I was a maniac because he was out 5 nights a week playing football. Now I'm not letting him ride a bike because I'm so afraid, right? The medicine hadn't kicked in. So finally, after about, I guess, 3 or 4 months, we get some medicine. Everything's kind of on track. And I said to him, you know, you've got to get out of the basement. This is crazy. You can't, you know, but he was embarrassed and, you know, everything. We were all afraid. I said, you know, I'll drive you to see your buddies and then I'll pick you up. Half an hour later, he called me the third time. I said, okay, what's going on? He said, Mom, they all drink or smoke pot. I don't fit in. And I said, okay, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, blah, 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 you know, like a mother, right?
Yeah.
And as I said it, I had the biggest glass of wine in my hand. And I thought, you're a hypocrite. And from that moment, I said, I'll stop for 3 months. It was supposed to be a 3 month journey, more to prove a point to him, because I did drink a lot. I didn't realize quite honestly how much I was drinking, but I thought, okay, I'll do 3 months. So 3 months came and went. And then he said, you see, Mom, now you could be like everybody else. I said, okay, I'll do another 3 months. Then his buddies showed up one day and they had, you know, the backpack with the booze in the backpack, you know, kids.
Sure, sure.
And I hear him say, you guys can't bring that in. My mom stopped drinking for me.
Wow.
And then I thought, wow, like, this is whatever, right? So we did Sober as the New Cool because he didn't want to talk about his epilepsy. He didn't want to talk about not being able to drink, right? And then we ended up in the hospital a few times because, needless to say, he went to the park with the boys once things kind of settled down.
Sure. And, I think I'm okay. Right? Yeah.
I want to be like everybody else, and off we go in an ambulance again. So we started Sober as the New Cool. My sister made a logo. I don't even know how it got started. This logo, she had it going up and down. I turned the paper. I still have the napkin she wrote it.
No, really?
I swear to God.
Oh, I love it. You need to frame that. That's awesome.
It was like a crazy, you know, just, and then I did a Facebook page at 52. I never did any of that. Didn't know anything about anything. Nobody was talking about alcohol and not drinking other than Hello Sunday Morning out of Australia. That was the only thing I could find.
Wow.
And I just said, we're going to do it so that Matthew can kind of blame me, I guess. You know, my mother's doing this, that kind of thing, to not have to explain. And I have to tell you, after 6 months, everywhere I went, people made me, they'd say, you don't have a problem. Come here. We'll just have a drink in the corner. We won't tell anybody. And I thought, if it's this hard for me, how is a teenager going to get through this? It's impossible, right?
Yeah.
And then from the UK, that's where the first letters started coming in and the remarks on Facebook. It was like, how did you do this? What are you doing? How's your son? What's going on? And then I met a bunch of mothers with kids that were epileptic that also couldn't drink. And it was just like, it just blew up. You know, like two mothers, my sister and I, like at a kitchen table doing this. It was supposed to be for my Matthew. That's it. That's all. Aww. And it just blew up. And every time I'd think, okay, something else would happen and push me along. And here I am 11 years later.
11 years. Your story gives me, it really, for any mother who's listening, right, it's our worst nightmare just to have your child's health in one day. And I've experienced that. My older daughter is in remission from aplastic anemia. And so to go from like your child is perfectly healthy, like you said, 5 days a week, you're at football, you're living life, right? You're going out, he's doing all the normal stuff. And like your whole life has changed. Yeah. Everything changes. Your perspective on everything changes.
Yeah. And I couldn't go out. I was like frozen. You know, I was afraid to go out. And you know, if I went out, my husband stayed home. If my husband went somewhere, I'd stay home. It was the first 6 years were sheer hell, you know? So for me, a lot of people say, when you stop drinking, was it hard? Yes, it was hard. I didn't go to restaurants. I didn't go to bars. I didn't go to parties, but I had a sick child. So that kind of trumped all that stuff, right? And then as we got better, because we had, now he's 6 years seizure-free, by the way.
Is he? Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, he's 26, and he's 6 years seizure-free. But we've had ups and downs in between the 2013 and then, right? So for me, it was just like every time I thought we'd get two steps forward, something would happen again, right? And thank God I didn't drink, because I think I would have lost my mind having, you know, with a sick child, and I wanted to fix him and I couldn't.
Yeah. Oh yeah. As the mom, you're like, I'll take it. I'll sit and put me in the chair, you know, in the hospital bed, or put me there. Yeah. Put me in the ambulance. Mm-hmm.
And I think too, for all his friends that were normal, right, doing the normal stuff and everything, you know, we went to psychologists, we went to psychiatrists. I talked about that a lot, and that was hard for my family because my husband's very reserved and I was very open about this. This was going to be, and nobody was talking about it. You know, I admitted to taking Prozac at one point when I went through my menopause. I talked about everything and I said, we have to talk about these things, right? Because I want my son to be normal. My son has to be normal.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so refreshing to talk about, yeah, what so many people aren't talking about, especially back then. Nobody, like you said, what, one account you found? And now, how does it feel now when you come online now? I mean, you are the OG of the OG of talking about sober living. I mean, and I love your logo. I love what you and your sister did. So whichever way you're holding the paper, it's perfect. It's wonderful. But I mean, how is it now to come online and it feels like every other person is talking about sobriety?
Well, you know, it's very refreshing. Yet I find, you know, this year we did an international walk because COVID was over, right? So people from around the world did it in their homes, the towns. And then I did one in Montreal finally. And I have to tell you, a lot of people wouldn't come because they didn't want the neighbors to know still.
Wow. 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 The stigma of like,
yes.
Do you think it's from using the word sober, or do you think it's like, do you think other words have, like if somebody says, oh, I'm alcohol free, or I'm doing a health challenge and not drinking, or do you think it's that word sober? Like, I know when I first stopped drinking, like that word sober scared me. I was like, oh no, I'm not sober. I just don't want to drink as much. I just want to moderate,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It was a scary word.
Well, I think it's, you know, it could be a number, sober, AKA, yeah, Alcoholic Anonymous. You're an alcoholic, you're this. And I remember saying to one woman right at the beginning, I said, well, if I said to you, you're a shopaholic, we'd all laugh, wouldn't we? So, like, think about it. It's still an obsession, you know? So, and then she kind of laughed and we said, you know, whatever. And for me, I think I wanted to get rid of that label. If you want to say you're an alcoholic, that's fine. If you want to say you're sober curious, that's fine. But it just has to change. And it's changing. I find more so with my kids, friends' age.
Interesting.
Than
Interesting.
The women that I know or
I
men.
Agree.
The husbands that now, maybe during COVID, had a slip. Many doctors I knew that were 10 years sober, that were overworked, overtired, had a slip. And none of them wanted to talk about it.
Interesting. You know? Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. Yeah. No, the younger generation, I think for sure is way, what is that? Is it just that they're more open to the health stuff, or is it like, yes, oh, I'll smoke pot, I won't drink? I mean, it's so interesting to me. You know?
I think so, because at one point one of my Matthew's friends came and he said, could I buy 5 t-shirts? And I said, 5 t-shirts? And he said, one of the boys we went to school with, we just found out is coming out of rehab. And we were all supposed to watch a football game last year. And he said, he's not ready to wear a t-shirt, but we're all going to wear a t-shirt. And we bought the non-alcoholic beer and the non-alcoholic gin and whatever, you know, those drinks, to support him, to make it easier, wow, for him to be at the party. And I said, here, just take as many as you want.
Take whatever you want. Yeah, here's the cabinet. Take whatever. Oh.
Because I thought at 25 years old, to have people support you like that, right? And give up their night of booze and whatever and say, no way, we're right here behind you. And that's it. I was like, that was a huge moment.
That's amazing. I will tell everybody. Okay, so I am a person who loves merch. I love stuff with a logo on it. I've been in the industry since I was like 15, since before I could drive a car, been around logo stuff. So whenever I see you, you always have like the cutest sweatshirts on with your logo, hats. I'm looking at you right now. You have your logo behind you on a banner. I love it also, but I also love that you get your heart is to give back. So all the proceeds go towards mental health and
addiction. Giving only to one place at one point, but now, a lot of the people that were sending me donations wanted to give to mental health. Some wanted to give to, you know, different things. So I said, I'm just going to pick nonprofits. And there's so many wonderful ones now, right?
Totally.
That we could spread it out forever.
Yeah. 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 Totally. Totally. There's no shortage. There's no shortage of wonderful places that are doing great work. Yeah. They're doing great work. Yeah. Okay, as you guys know, I love Giessen 0% wines. Their Sauvignon Blanc is my go-to on a regular basis, but they recently launched a delicious Sparkling Brut 0%, which is quickly becoming a fan favorite. I am so proud to have Giessen as the exclusive non-alcoholic wine sponsor of the Thriving Alcohol-Free podcast. Giessen 0% wines are created through the magic of advanced spinning cone technology to remove the alcohol from their full-leaded wines.
The award-winning winemaker Duncan Schuler and his team have done wonders in Marlborough, New Zealand by creating an entire family of 0% wines with all the flavor and deliciousness you expect from traditional, quote, full-leaded wine. Their non-alcoholic wines maintain the aroma and the body to create a low-calorie wine that never contains more than 0.5 ABV. Globally available, look for Giessen 0% wines wherever you shop for your non-alcoholic options. Their family of alcohol-free wines include the most effervescent member of the family, the Sparkling Brut 0%, which is absolutely delicious for any celebration. My personal favorite, although I do love them all, is the Sauvignon Blanc, coming in at only 100 calories for the entire bottle. And not to be missed, the other members of their 0% family, the Riesling, the Premium Red Blend, the Rosé, the Pinot Gris. With Giessen 0% wines, there's a de-alcoholized wine for everyone and every occasion. Give Giessen a try and let me know how much you love it. And if you want to meet their winemaker, go back to episode 33 of the podcast where Duncan Schuler joined me to share about the Giessen story.
So how was your walk when you had the walk? How was it?
We were about probably 45 people in the end. Yeah. I had more people around the world basically walking in their cities.
Yep.
But it was fine because I think when everybody looked at it afterwards, I picked also a mountaintop in the Montreal area that's a tourist place. And I think when they looked at the videos and they looked at the people walking, you could, some people had t-shirts on, so reasonable.
Sure, sure.
Others didn't, or different merch that was sober merch. And some people were just dressed regular. So I think people realized, oh, nobody would have known, right?
Yeah.
And that now, I think this year will be phenomenal. But out of that, the Canadian government did a declaration, because in Canada, in Montreal, there was never a International Recovery Day.
Really?
So this year they did a declaration in the name of Sober is the New Cool.
No.
Yes. Yes. So that was from that walk. That's what happened. And it was like the whole thing kind of happened. The minister called me and said, what's all this? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, I've been doing this for 10 years. And I'm going to come and this and that. And then it was like, well, and I said, we don't have a day in Canada or Montreal. Some provinces do, but as an international, but I do it anyways. And then it was like, they gave me 2 weeks to organize a walk. I said, what if nobody comes? What
if you're superwoman. Kim, seriously, you need a cape with your logo on it.
Like, no. But then nobody was really answering. And I just said, okay, I've got to just go. And whether we're two people or five people, I'm just going to own it, right? Because
totally.
I had to show the world that I was ready to stand up. And I brought my sign with me and we put it there. And do you know how many people came to the sign that didn't know about it, that said that they were had stopped drinking for 2 years or 5 years, or knew somebody that needed help? It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And then they made the declaration for Sober is the New Cool. So that was amazing, because it was kind of like, okay, we're here. Like,
yeah, validation.
Yeah.
Validation. Absolutely. Yeah. So what is the day? What is the actual? So in 2024 or 2020?
It's
or what
normally,
is it?
Everybody is the 30th of October.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
So they're working that out because some provinces have other days.
Okay.
So I thought we should go international because the rest of the world all does it on one day. So I think they're working that part out, but they've done the declaration. The plaque will be made once they've decided the date, but that's coming soon. So, but it was done. It was all over the place. And what was great about it was people could say, oh, like, you know, the government's talking about it. This is happening. It's like kind of like, you know, if you see a book about sobriety and somebody has it, well, so what, right? It's like eating healthy. It's like, but a book or a declaration, it kind of makes it like, okay, we can talk about it openly, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
For 11 years, wherever I've gone, when I've said I don't drink, somebody sits beside me and says, okay, how? Where do I start? What do I do?
What advice, what do you give them? What do you tell people?
Well, the first thing I told, I remember going to a walk on a mountain during COVID for 60th birthday, and somebody brought pink champagne at 6:30 in the morning, right? And I said, they were all going to cheers. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I've got to get my bottle of water out of the car. And one of the girls I didn't know followed behind me. And she said, could I have some of the water too for my glass? And I said, sure. And then afterwards, she told me she had been sober free for 2 years. And she said, how do you do that? And I said, I tell people when they ask me, why don't you drink? Or you don't drink? I said, yeah, and I'm never going to miss another memory. So, you know, and I said, when people say, you know, why do you drink? I say, well, why do you? You know, like, so it was kind of like, she said, wow. And I said, I'm telling you, once you say it a few times, it does get easier.
It does get easier. Yes.
Right? Yep,
I agree. I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you are such a positive person. How do you turn adversity? Like, how do you turn around hard times, you know, when you are feeling down? Because I just, your account is so positive. I feel like I'm a very positive person too. I think we have that in common. Like, I think we're both glasses half full or glasses overflowing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
That's what I gather from all that I witnessed of you on Instagram. So, but how do you handle when you feel down or when you have adversity? How do you overcome that?
Well, it's funny because I have one son that's moved out just in the last year, which I found really, really hard. And now my youngest son is going to move out. And just different things have happened. And, you know, you meet some very great people and then you meet people that kind of use you a little bit. And it hurts. It really hurts, right?
It really hurts, yeah.
And I've had a few things happen in the last few months. And I just kind of went, wow, you know? So yesterday I did a reel because it was really bothering me. You know, I just, it was like this negative energy and I don't do well with negativity.
Same.
Like it drains me. And I did a reel say, let the person that irritates you the most be your best teacher and never be like them. And it kind of flicked my switch. So for me, I think when I start to get down, I have to exercise more. I have to listen to more like meditation or like, you know, a podcast, or like for me, that's huge, you know, and some that are cute and funny. And it's crazy that every time something bad happens or something where like I get in those ways, sometimes I'm not doing enough. I'm not helping enough people. Why can't I do more? I'm very hard on myself. And then something kind of shifts. Don't ask me why. I don't know how come. Somebody will send me a note and say, you know, you helped my daughter or my daughter's whatever, and she's seen your account, and can you help her? And then I think, okay, get back up and keep going, right? I just somehow, I have to say, it just keeps going, you
keeps
know?
Keeps going, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting though? Okay, so like to hear you say like when you get a nice comment or something, that it does keep you going, right? Because we all need encouragement. Even those of us who are the most positive or, you know, upbeat or whatever, we all need encouragement. I got an email today saying like, I love your podcast. I can't tell you, and this is not me, a shout out to ask people to email me. I'm just saying like, it meant so much to me because sometimes you go, is anybody listening or is anybody,
yes.
Which,
yes.
You know, yes. But you know, you do, you get in your head a little bit like, am I making a difference? And I want to make a difference, you know, and we can sometimes be our own worst enemy. So like you were saying, like sometimes people hurt you. And I have to say that probably the when my daughter was sick, it was obviously, it's the worst thing. But betrayal of people is so painful. That hurt that people can cause, you know, relationships, friendships, whatever, is one of the most painful things I think we can go through.
You know, I'm always the one who goes, what did I do? What did I say? Where did I go wrong? And then I've had to like sit back and go, you're 63 years old. There's still mean girls or mean boys. You know what I mean?
Isn't that true? Right. Like what on earth? Right. I'm 52 and there are still mean girls. There are still the bullies, you know, like real time. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Not fun. It's not fun.
I love people. I love to encourage people. I like to talk about everybody else's stuff because they end up going and helping somebody else. So people that just want to take and then not help, I get, but I have to let it go. I just have to, right?
Yep.
Because they're same. There and it's not going to change.
Same. I'm not going to change them. Yeah. But it's been some very hard times. Okay. I could talk to you for hours. I want to come up to Canada. You will be one of the main reasons I would come to Canada. You and Sarah Kate. Do you follow Sarah Kate? Some Good Clean Fun. She's a lot of fun.
No.
Oh, okay. You got to follow her. Mockups, Mocktails. She's a doll. I just love her. Joanne, you have to follow her. Actually, okay, so at the Mocktail Summit, I had several Canadians were presenters.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think. Now I can't remember. Who else was there? There were so many people involved in the summit, but you were so encouraging to me for the Mocktail Summit. So thank you so much for your encouragement. You are just a cheerleader for everybody. So thank you.
Well, I know Emma.
Emma, yes. Emma from the UK was there. Yes.
And I have so many women from the UK that they're amazing women. They really are.
They really are. And you were on Sober Dave. Is that right? You were on Sober
yes.
Dave.
Yes.
You've been on his podcast and you've been on his lives, right?
Yes.
He was one of the first accounts I followed when I was probably drinking my wine, scrolling at night, you know, going like, could I really not drink? You know, how would I do that? He was one of the first people I followed.
That's so weird because I was just finishing with him and I said, I've got to introduce you to a woman. And I said, you probably don't. I was talking about you. And then
that's hilarious.
He said, Kim, I've got to start my live. And then we had to
He's like, goodbye.
Talking.
Yeah. Next.
And I
He's
said,
like, I don't
now, after this, I was going to post it that, I just finished a podcast with you. And then I was going to send it to him. This is the lady I was talking to.
That is hilarious. Yes, I have followed him. I mean, he was probably one of the very first accounts that I followed. It's so refreshing to just see normal people who have just said goodbye to the booze and have carried on like you have behind you. Keep calm and carry on. The sign behind you, right?
Yes.
Like that's what we're doing. We're keeping calm. We're carrying on. We're having a good time. Sober is absolutely the new goal. It is absolutely the new goal. Yes. I love your logo. Okay. When you're not drinking, so if you're not, which you're not drinking for over 11 years now, what besides water, are there mocktails that you enjoy? Or like, do you drink non-alcoholic wine? You don't have to. I mean, for some people it's a trigger. So I never want to encourage anybody to drink if they don't want to drink non-alcoholic stuff.
I found one. I was a pink girl, pink rosé, pink champagne, pink whatever. So I love the Prima Vecchia. That's one
good.
Of my, because it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy. But I have to say now I have a few friends that are doing it more for health reasons and they've just never felt good when they drank. Okay, period. And they're all getting into this mocktail thing. And I never did only because it was like I had tried a few of the drinks when I first started and they were so sugary that I was having trouble. And then I met Emma, right? Because I've known for about 8 years now.
Okay, yep.
So I would see her put together and then I started watching you and I was like, okay, now I could actually try things. My older son, Jack, does the gin, the fake gin.
Yeah, the fake,
right?
Non-alcoholic gin. Yeah, which is delicious. It's so good.
And he loves it.
Okay, good.
So there, you know, and my Matthew drinks the non-alcoholic beer. And at Christmas, it was crazy. I had bought Prima Pavé because I just figured, we'll see, you know, through the holidays and
it's
whatever.
Delicious.
And everybody drank that instead of the wine. It was
really
insane.
Really?
Especially my nieces and nephews. Yeah. They
love that.
So many of them don't want to drink. But that's where my dad said, here, I've got this. I forget the brand, but it was a non-alcoholic gin. And they were drinking it and they loved it. And I said,
loved it.
Okay, I've got to start having those kind of options because the more it's going, but at the beginning, it was kind of hard. You know, it was like you had to have the simple syrup. You had to have this. You had that. Where I find yours are much easier. And Emma's, you know?
And Emma is Sober Sonic. So for anybody who's listening, and she was on the podcast not that long ago. And her Instagram is Sober Sonic for anybody who's listening and wondering who Emma is, who we're talking about. Yeah, she's got great recipes. And she takes it to the next level. I love her recipies. She's great. Yes. So
because I saw you had done one with like, I think it was cucumbers and apples or something. Wasn't there one that you do so many, but.
Kim, I don't remember anything. Literally, it's like, I'll make a drink. And then like 3 weeks later, I'll make the same one. And I'm like, I posted or whatever. And I'm like, oh wait, I already did that one 2 weeks ago. I forgot I posted about it.
So what would be the best one for me to try that doesn't have a lot of sugar?
Oh, I mean, you can do tons of stuff with the gin and tonic. I mean, even you could do like a sugar-free jam.
Really?
And put that in the shaker cup with some gin. Yeah, just like a tiny bit. So if you want to keep your sugar content low and then you could add some tonic to it or whatever, but like a little jam, gin, fizz. Easy. But then you can add flavor to it. And then you can garnish, like, let's say you use like a blackberry jam. Then you can garnish like some blackberries, you know, some.
Oh, you see, but this is
just simple, you know, but simple.
Yeah,
like for me, I don't want to make it all difficult. Like, yes, I do make things sometimes with 4 or 5 ingredients, but I like to keep it as easy as possible. So,
yeah. And especially like when there's different people, you know, some people like gin, some people like this or like that. And I really feel that. Here it's finally, in Canada, we didn't have a lot of options. We're finally getting them, Like you guys, when I go to New York or wherever, oh my God, it's like,
yeah, there's so much. Yeah. The market is just expanding every single day. There's new products.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no shortage. Yeah. No shortage of things for us and our kids to drink while we're not drinking. So, okay, Kim, I just love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming into Thriving Alcohol Free to the podcast today. I just really, really appreciate your time.
I wanted to show you one thing, okay?
Yeah, I want to see. Okay, please hold. What do you have there? What is that?
I found this book and it's called Mommy Goes to Meetings.
Mommy Goes to Meetings. Okay.
And it's by Amy Liz Harrison. And I'm just going to read one page because I think it touched my heart so much. And for all the young moms that follow you, and I cry almost every time I read it.
I'm a crier too.
Life will never be perfect, but my mom is no longer numb. She began a legacy of healing for us and for generations to come. And it's a children's book for a mother to be able to read with her kids that explains why a mother would go to a meeting. So to take away the stigma. And I love to show this book just because I think when it's in a book or you see something, it makes it like, okay, I'm okay to be a mom and go to a meeting or not go to a meeting or do whatever I have to and explain to my child why I don't.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that you're not alone and that you're not numbing out anymore. You're there for your kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Big time cheers to you for tuning in to the Thriving Alcohol Free podcast. I hope you will take something from today's episode and make one small change that will help you to thrive and have fun in life without alcohol. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social, send up a flare, or leave a rating and a review. I am cheering for you as you discover the world of non-alcoholic drinks and as you journey towards authentic freedom. See you in the next episode.